Hey, I want to say real quick, for those that came to the Sabina movie, was that fantastic or what? So I'm just going to tell you, if you didn't come, you missed a real powerful infusion of the gospel and what it means to put your life on the line for the gospel. And so I would encourage y'all to find that somehow, find that movie and watch it. This morning I wanted to introduce Pastor Nathan Nanya. Some of you know Pastor Nathan. You probably didn't know he was a pastor. He's really a doctor. So Dr. Nathan Nanya. And Pastor Nathan is a third generation Christian. His great-grandparents and beyond grew up in the Hindu faith, and his grandfather converted to Christianity, so he's third-generation Christian Indian or Indian Christian. And I had the pleasure of meeting him probably 6 months ago, and I heard his story, he heard my story, and, you know, I told him, I said, there's a lot of Indian people moving into our community, has been for years, and we work with a lot of Indian people and whatnot, and I'd love to know more about that culture and how can we share Christ with them. And he told me something very interesting. He said, they probably will never come into a Christian church to hear the gospel. We have to go to them. In fact, those were the marching orders that Jesus gave us. We need to what? Go. And so he's going to talk about that this morning. But next Saturday, he's having a workshop just to tell you more about that culture, the Hindu faith, and how we can reach them. And, you know, there's not too many people that have signed up for the class because I'm assuming you probably don't know what it's about. But it is how to share the Christian faith, the gospel, with people that are, let's say, by nature, Hinduism or Hindu beliefs, right? And so I think it'd be really interesting if we could fill that room up with people to come and hear how we can do that, right? And he's going to talk more about that this morning. But Pastor Nathan is executive director of Global Friends Network. He's been pastoring for a lot of years. I won't give the number, but a lot of years. And currently he oversees about 200 missionaries in India and about 70 churches. And I have a lot of respect for that. I've been given one church to oversee, and it's a lot. And he now oversees 70 churches. And so the message that he has is a very relevant message for us today. And so would you welcome Dr. Pastor Nathan Nanya.
Thank you, Pastor Bob. I came to this country, United States of America, 35 years ago. At that time, I did not know the first name, middle name, and the last name concepts, because the South India, where I come from, we don't have the first name and the last name and the middle name. We have only one name, and that is my name, is Nyanya. Somehow it has gone to the last name now. And people will introduce me in the first year. This is, instead of Nyanya, they will say, Pastor said correctly, Nanya. But some people would say, this is Mr. Yanya. Yanya means in my language, are you an elephant? Maybe I was a big baby when I was born, but I was not an elephant. But Nyanya means a man of wisdom. And that's what my father thought. I do not know whether I have wisdom or not. Pastor said, I'm a third generation follower of Jesus Christ. My grandfather became the follower of Jesus Christ. And then my father was also a Hindu at that time. So I could say I'm a third generation. I could say I'm a second generation. How did this happen? My grandfather was a school teacher, and then he was also a Hindu preacher. So he, in his leisure time, go to villages and talk about Hindu gods and talk about Hindu literature, talk about the Hindu mythology and all sorts of things. And one time he became very sick. So he prayed to his gods and nothing happened. So there is a hierarchy of gods in Hinduism. So he prayed to all the higher gods and nothing happened. And he said, maybe there is a real God above the big God. So he prayed to that particular God saying, the real God, whom I do not know, reveal yourself and also heal my sickness. And he had a dream. I don't know, many Americans don't believe in dreams, but in the Bible they believe in dreams. So that was a dream. And in that dream, someone said, read the book and you will be healed. Read the book? Which book? In the dream itself, he said, read the book the white man will bring to you. My goodness, there is no white man in my village. So he started asking, is there a white man coming to our town? Yeah. Once in a month or once in a quarter, a white man come in a bicycle, give away books. My goodness, where can I get that book? Oh, go to the corner, the other side of the town. That is a small church, and there is a man called Pastor. And then you can ask the pastor about that book. So he went to the pastor with all his holy ashes and everything and knocked at the door. And then pastor came and he said, teacher, a Hindu teacher at my store. What do you want, teacher? I want that book. Which book? I don't know what book is. The white man gives a book. I want that book. So holy water, I brought it from India. That white man was none other than a missionary called Lloyd Larbier. In the 20th century, hundreds of missionaries came from Europe, from Germany, from London, from Sweden, from Netherlands, from Scotland. But this particular Mr. Lloyd Larbier came from United States of America. I thought you would clap. Today, Pastor has given a nice bulletin, and then there is a sermon outline, sharing the good news with your Hindu neighbors. And the topic is evangelism, what? Why and how? What is the evangelism or what is the gospel? Why evangelize? And then how to evangelize? There are three questions. And also there are three answers which are printed in your bulletin if you have a bulletin. The first answer is understanding the reality. Second answer is understanding the responsibility. And the third answer is understanding the opportunity. We are around 100 people here this morning for the first service. I hope another 100 will come for the second service. And I like the church because I lived in California 34 years and pastored a church for 25 years. My heart is for the Indian people. My heart is for the people who do not know Jesus Christ. So I came to Texas last year. Started, as they say in United States, shopping around for churches. So at least 8 churches I went, and I came to this church. I met the pastor for the first time, and Pastor Bob said, "Oh, you are from India. There are so many Indians here." You know the enthusiasm of Pastor Bob, you know. "And we have to learn from you, Pastor Nathan, how to reach them." Boom. This is the church I should go. Not I will get a chance to speak like this. Not I will have a workshop coming Saturday to teach people who are interested, but at least to hear the pastor who has a heart for not only white people and brown people and black people and yellow people, for all the people. Amen. Friends, first question, what is the gospel? I did some research. Gospel, the word gospel came from God's spell. It's an old Anglo-Saxon word, God's spell. What it means is good story. Today you are going to hear my story, Jesus' story, and everybody's story. The story of truth, the story of light, the story of the way, the story of hope. That is the gospel. Gospel is evangelism. The Greek word is evangelion, which means good news. I'm going to read few verses. Mark 1:1. This is the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Maybe Matthew was spending a lot of genealogy account. Luke was giving a kind of doctoral dissertation or something, a long history. But Mark is to the point. Mark is like our Pastor Bob. Boom, 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 he would say, isn't it? Mark is starting it. This is the beginning of the good news. This is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. John starts in another way because he was trying to reach the Greeks. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. In the New Living Translation, we see the Word became human. The good news is we need not go to God. God came to us. We need not make gods. God made us. We need not worry about God who is far away in Washington, D.C. or London or Tokyo, but he is in Leander and he is with us. On one side, we the Christians have the good news. We all have the good news. On the other side, the world wants to know the good news. Maybe even today, some of you have come to this church to know the good news. Here is the good news. What is the good news? The good news is Jesus is here. And you can see him. In Jerusalem, there was a festival, and some Greeks came. Usually, Jews will go to the festival. That year, Greeks came, and the Greeks came to Philip and said, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." In the Living Translation, it says, "We want to meet with Jesus." Friends, that is the reality we are searching for. If you have not understood the reality, That is the good news. Today is a wonderful day to meet that reality. My story, even though I was born in a Christian family, I didn't know this Jesus Christ. So sometimes we need not go to Jesus Christ. Jesus will come to us. And then Jesus came to us with a form of a sickness, or sent a form of a sickness. So I became very sick when I was 20 years old. So I was admitted in the hospital with the tuberculosis. And then I cried to God, "Lord, heal me, I'm going to die." And he healed me. I was wondering that even today, if some of you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, today is a day, because it's a reality. Understand the reality that there is a good news available for all the needs you have, all the problems you have. It need not be a sickness like me. It may be a confusion in your heart. It may be a peacelessness in your heart. It may be a burden in your heart. It may be a sin bothering in your life. Jesus is the answer, and that is the reality. It is the truth. I used to travel a lot in India when I was young. I think I am still young. But it's a long train journey. It's like taking a train from Austin to Washington, D.C., 1,500 miles. So from Chennai, my town, to Bombay, Mumbai, it's 1,000 miles, and it's a 2 days journey. I used to read a lot of books, and I was reading this book, and a Hindu sat near me. And he was looking at me. He wanted to talk with me, but for some reason, I was interested in my books. So I was reading and reading, and I had many books, so he even took one book and read like this. And then he said, "Sir," I said, "What?" "You read books." Of course I read books, that's why I brought books. "And all your books are Christian books?" "Yes." "So you are a Christian?" "Yes." He said, "I'm not a Christian." "Oh." "I'm a Hindu." "Oh." "I have a question. What is the difference between your God and my gods? What is the difference between your religion and my religion?" My goodness. I studied theology, but suddenly if a Hindu asks that, how will I answer him? And I said, "Oh Lord, help me." I was looking at him, but I was praying to him. Isn't it wonderful? Even now I am doing that. And then I said, you know, my friend, you know, my brother, as I was talking to you, as you asked my question, I talked with my God." "My goodness, you talked with your God?" "Yes, yes." "How?" "I didn't listen." "How did you talk?" No, "I talked in my mind. That is called prayer." "Oh, you can pray to God even in the train?" "Yes, I can pray to God even in the train, in the journey." "What did you pray?" "I pray that I should give you an answer." What answer he gave? Somebody is listening. I said, he said, "My God said, tell your friend, I am with you. My name is Emmanuel." He said, "Sir, I don't understand what you are talking about your God praying, and he is talking to you and giving you an answer that his name is Emmanuel, God with you. But I believe that you tell the truth." We have a reality. If we understand the reality, we will follow the reality. The second point is evangelism, why? Understanding the responsibility. Jesus said to his friends, Jesus said to his followers, we have a responsibility. He said, come follow me and I will show you how to fish for people. That's a new translation. The old translation is, follow me and I will make you fishers of men and women. Women I added. As disciples of Jesus, we have a command to obey. What is the command? It is called the last command or the great commission. Matthew 28 and 18 said, Jesus said, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. My great teacher, Dr. Donald McGovern, a missionary to India, the father of church growth, he would always tell this particular version in Greek. He would say, panta ta ethna, which means go and disciples all nations. All nations. I became a college teacher when I was 21. I got first class in my degree program. So they appointed me as a college teacher. I taught 4 years in colleges, my language. At the age of 25, the Lord called me to quit my job. It's very hard to quit jobs in India because it's very hard to get jobs in India. Anyway, I got the job, I quit the job, I went to the Bible college. Since I was working among college, I wanted to become college students minister. But God told me to go and start churches, plant churches in villages of India. Even though there are big, big cities in India like New Delhi, Calcutta, where Mother Teresa worked, and Mumbai, Bombay, Bangalore, where it is called Silicon Valley of India, and Chennai, and so many cities, but there are villages in India. Nearly 70,000 villages, they say, in my own state. The villages do not know Jesus Christ. So God was telling, you may be a college teacher, but I want you to go to the villages to preach the gospel. I said, I'm a learned man. I cannot talk to people who do not understand me. I will help you to talk in such a way that people will understand you. So as a college teacher or a college junior professor, I went to the village and I talked. It was a first day, it was an Easter day, I think in 1976 or 74. And I preached my heart. I do not know whether people understood me or not, but I gave an altar call and four people stood. It was a Hindu village, 100% Hindu village, and I preached the word Jesus Christ and four people stood for an altar call. And I said, no. They have not understood me. That's why they are standing. I said, please sit down. I will preach again 10 minutes. And I said, if you want to accept Jesus Christ, and the four people again stood up. And God said, this is real. You have understood your responsibility. They have understood their responsibility of accepting Jesus Christ. Some of you have been coming to this church for a long time. Some of you started coming for not long time. And some of you have come for the first time. Whoever you are and whatever you do, you have a responsibility. Not only for your own people, but for every people. I used to imagine. What is the imagination? The imagination is that Jesus after resurrection, after 40 days, went back to heaven, and there was an amazing reception. The Son of God went as a little baby boy in Bethlehem, lived in Nazareth, died in Jerusalem, resurrected, and healed so many people, fed thousands of people, now came back after finishing his salvation plan. And the television interviewers came and told him, there'll be a lot of people. Lord, you finished your work. Yeah. Now, when you were born in Bethlehem, your father sent angels. Now, is he going to send angels to proclaim the salvation news? He said, no. There is no need. Who will do that? Well, my disciples will do that. Who are they? Peter, John, Thomas. Thomas! The doubting Thomas, he was doubting one time, but I'm going to send him to India. India? Wow. For those of you who do not know, Thomas came to India to preach the gospel, and we killed him, and we still have the grave in Chennai. One of the 12 disciples came to India. So the angels, asked him, Lord, it looks like your disciples are weak. No. I will send Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit come upon them, they will be my witnesses. Do you really say what you say, Lord? Yes, I trust my disciples. Can the Lord Jesus Christ tell today, I trust the people of Generations Church? Will we understand our responsibility? Understanding the reality is our first point. Understanding the responsibility is the next step. I'm going to close with my final point, which is how to evangelize, or understanding the opportunity. Acts of the Apostles, first chapter and 8th verse is giving a wonderful clue. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the world. Once the Lord Jesus gave this command to his disciples, some people say it was in the Mount Olives, which is just east side of Jerusalem. So he started with Jerusalem. If he was giving the command today, he will start something like this. You will be my witnesses in Leander. You will be my witnesses in Liberty Hills. You will be my witnesses in the good old Georgetown. You will be my witnesses in Cedar Park. You will be my witnesses in Austin. You will be my witnesses in Dallas, in San Antonio, in Houston. You will be my witnesses in Florida. You will be my witnesses in the Hollywood, California. You will be my witnesses in Europe. You will be my witnesses in Africa. You will be my witnesses in India, where I have 1.2 billion people. And they do not know much about me, even though I sent Thomas to them. Thomas started, but it did not grow well. We have 1.2 billion people, but only 3% are Christians. Maybe for a billion people, even 1% is a big number. But 3% are Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. I want to put all the Roman Catholics and the Mennonites and the Methodists and the Lutherans and the Evangelicals and the Pentecostals and all who say they attend church, whether they attend church for Sunday's sake or Monday's sake, we do not know. I put all of them together, coming with 3%. What are the other people? Maybe 12% are Islamic people. The largest Islamic country in the world is India, not Saudi Arabia. The largest Hindu country is in India. All the rest, 80%. There are Buddhists, there are Jains. Before the British came, we were 56 nations, ruled by 56 countries. We speak many languages. India is not one country. India is more than Europe. If you put Europe together and then Africa together and South America together, that's India in population. So many different people, so many languages. 1,652 languages, not dialects. Please don't use the word dialect. We all speak languages. But they don't know Jesus Christ. Jesus said, you should be witnesses. Once upon a time, this country and Europe sent missionaries to all over the world. And I'm very happy to tell that I am a product of American missionaries. But I am also very happy that God sent me back to do my job in this country, because I came to United States to study my master's and doctoral work, and my second boy became sick with muscular dystrophy. So we had to stay here. I was crying to God. God, I want to go back to India. And then my professor, who was a missionary in India, he called me and said, you want to go to India to witness to Himalayas and Ganges and rivers and hills? No, you want to go back to India to be a witness for Indians, and Indians are coming to Los Angeles. At that time, 250,000 Indians were in Los Angeles. Now the same number is in Austin. And more companies are coming. The other day I went to a shop, and they have a magazine, Leander magazine. Leander is the fastest growing city in United States of America, with so many new companies, and all the new companies bring Indians. If we feel the reality, if we know the responsibility, then we will suddenly find the opportunity. And we will understand the opportunity. Paul is writing, I am not ashamed of the good news about Jesus Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. So I encourage you, many of you, maybe in my idealism, all of you, to attend my seminar. The good news is it's free. Even the childcare is free. I want to finish with the story that I had two wonderful opportunities last year. It started right here with a baptism tub. I know that Rupa and Jerry Daniel attends this church. Rupa's father was a Hindu who accepted Jesus and followed him all his life without taking a baptism. So we were talking about one day about baptism, and he said, I realized that I was not baptized, but I am following Jesus Christ. Will you give me the baptism? So I talked with Pastor Bob, and he was so kind enough to arrange the baptistry here, and my first ministry in Texas started with Generation Church baptizing that wonderful man of God in this place. Then within a few months, I went back to California, where I worked so many years, and one Hindu young man accepted Jesus Christ, and he was so much concerned for his mother, and we were praying and praying and praying for weeks and months and years. After a few years, she accepted, and then he said, Pastor Nyanya, not Yanya, Pastor Nyanya, will you baptize my mother? I said, it will be my privilege. If we understand the reality that Jesus Christ is alive and we have a good news, let us understand the responsibility, and also let us make use of the opportunity. God is bringing people. I don't know how to evangelize a Muslim. I don't know how to evangelize a Buddhist. But I know some methodologies, strategies which my father taught me, my anthropology professor taught me, my missionaries taught me. And I am not going to give every answer, but I am going to give you some interest. The wonderful thing about this church is every time when you get this, what is God speaking to you? Let us bow down our heads and pray to God. God Almighty, what are you talking to me? I'm going to give 2 altar calls today. The first one is for those who have not found the reality of the good news. That is, they have not accepted Jesus Christ so far as their Savior, as their Lord. If you are in that category, and if the Lord is speaking to you today after hearing my story and the story of Jesus Christ, if the Lord is talking to your heart, will you accept me? Will you come to me? Will you invite me into your heart? If the Lord is knocking at your heart, and if you want to accept him today, will you please raise your right hand so that I can see and pray for you today? Is there anyone? Thank you. Is there anyone else? Thank you for that wonderful lady who raised her hand. Is there anyone else that God has been talking to you? The second altar call is for those who have accepted Jesus Christ, and today the Lord has talked to you about evangelism. What evangelism? Why evangelism? How? What is the gospel? Why to evangelize? How to evangelize? And the Lord has been talking to you, understanding the reality, understanding the responsibility, and understanding the opportunity. The Lord has been talking to me to be a witness. If you go to Costco, you see Indian friends. If you go to HEB, you see Indian friends. If you go to any other place, a grocery, a medical shop, you see Indians. How to reach them? Maybe if God has put you a burden that you want to reach some Indians today, not necessarily Hindus, but Indians. Because you are already a Christian, I want you to stand and commit yourself to God today. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? I see some of you standing. The Lord is talking to you. The Lord has brought you today to this church to not to hear me, a second generation follower of Jesus Christ, but to hear him. Loving Father, when you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, the Word which was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became human being, and I thank you for the sister, the lady who raised her hand to accept you. And I thank you for all these wonderful people who are standing, committing their lives. To reach others. Fill them with your Spirit, Father. Bring more people to that workshop on July 30th so that we will learn together in sharing the good news with Jesus Christ, with others, especially with our Hindu neighbors. Thank you, God. Send us with your peace and joy and hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.